Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Create You Telesummit. I am Whitney Freya, and how much fun have we been having this week talking with all of these amazing people? I was just explaining to our guest today how these interviews have really been just conversations, and it has been such a gift for me, and I'm excited to be hearing from you all what you're getting out of it and you know, the connections you're making. And I really encourage you to reach out to these speakers and let them know where you connected with their message or what you love about what they're doing, anything. You know, it's a very receptive group. And so I encourage you to do that. Get creative with the way you can interact with these speakers, because they are people with huge hearts and a real passion for sharing their experiences with you. So our guest today is no different. We are joined by Michelle Fawcett, the Dreaming Dilettante. And Michelle is a creatively fit coach, as well as a woman who has lived the process of embracing her full color life. And Michelle, thank you so much for joining us and joining the conversation today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I know. Michelle and I, whenever we talk, it's like we could go for days, right? And
we've kind of reeled it in a little bit sometimes.
I know. Exactly. So, okay, so I want you to share with everyone, because if we haven't been there just recently, I think we're having a lot of these kind of opportunities come up, kind of these forks in the road where we're being given the opportunity to make decisions differently from the way we maybe used to make them. And I think this is huge right now. So you talked about the process and the fork in the road that you were at when you started your blog. So can you share that with us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I had started a blog around the time where I was laid off from my company, and you know, corporate America, and so I had a lot of sales background doing what I was doing, and so I was being very practical. Even though I was saying how I was looking forward to this opportunity to kind of redefine what I was doing, I wasn't really upset about the. We had planned for it; we knew it was coming, and it was kind of a new opportunity for me to sit back and focus on what I really wanted to do, and that's how I was looking at the opportunity. However, what I was actually doing was kind of sitting down, and when it came to creating my blog, I was creating it and saying, well, what if I did it gearing it towards business owners and people who are trying to grow their business? And that's kind of where I started doing it, because I said, well, that's what my training is. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 years, so maybe I should stay with that, even though it wasn't really what I wanted to do. And so that's where the blog was in the beginning. And then it kind of occurred to me, and then I had this separate blog. It was like my little secret blog where I got to be me and I got to be creative and do all that fun stuff. And I had it under a different name, and I was doing all these things, almost as if I was kind of afraid to put that out there. And I started this journey, and I don't know whether it was from reading. I think it's a combination of so many things, but reading other blogs and realizing what I loved about what I was enjoying, you know, what kept bringing me back. And it was the honesty, and it was people sharing what they were going through. And then I started doing this planning and kind of figuring out what were some of the things that I want to bring into my new year. And that was really last year, where I kind of decided that I wanted to go into student mode. I didn't want to go into this, stop worrying about how I was going to build this new career, a new business. And I wanted to take the time to really go in and figure out what I wanted to do and learn everything, because I always had a tendency to learn things within the back of my mind, thinking that maybe somehow I can turn this into something, and I didn't want to. I just wanted to learn and have fun and just enjoy. And one of the things that was on my list, things that I wanted to do, was I wanted to take a painting class. And through the wonders of the internet, interweb, and how you kind of get places, I found your site. And then that's what led me to take my first painting workshop with you. And I did that on my own, and then started really enjoying it and finding out that it really wasn't just about learning to paint. It wasn't just that. And then, obviously, I decided that in the course of the training and the working through all that, I was able to finally come to a place where I decided that if I'm going to be writing about something on a blog, I want it to be something I'm passionate about. So I got rid of that business blog and made everything about my creativity, and the Dreaming Dilettante came out because I love everything creative, and I don't feel I necessarily have to be a master at music to love, appreciate, and express myself through music, and I don't feel I have to be a master painter to express and love painting and express myself through art. So that's kind of where I was at, and I felt like I was on this journey to embrace my creativity, and I wanted to write about it and share it for other people who might be on the same journey. So that's kind of how the whole evolution of the blog went.
So you said so many things that that I love, and the first one is when you referred to, I love this, how you had your main blog and then you had your secret blog, you know, like the secret me. And I have been, just the last 3 or 4 days, I've been getting all of this information around the fact that we have an opportunity right now to align with our soul energy, right? To like just align with, you know, who we are from an infinite energetic perspective, and why we're here, what we came to learn and to experience and to feel, and that we have these fragments, these limiting beliefs, these one person called them our younger selves that subconsciously can be getting in our way. So when you find yourself saying, you know, why every year, you know, here we are in January again, like here I am making the same, you know, goals and, you know, the same things on my vision board, and it didn't happen last year and it didn't happen the year before. And so there are these secret me's that are in you. And in Michelle's case, her secret me is what illuminated for her what her real passion was. And so I just love the exercise of even just thinking like, okay, so here's the blog that I would logically write. And then what would I just love to blog about that, you know, just that I would just love to blog about? And And for some reason, you know, when you said that, that feels easier to me than sitting there trying to think, okay, you know, who, you know, what is that part of me that I'm not acknowledging, or the part that's holding me back or whatever. And so just thinking about it that way, like what would you do or share with someone or teach? Like if you could teach anything, what would you teach? And follow that, right, to that that secret me is actually probably more connected to your big, huge, infinite you than the one that, you know, is more obvious. So I love that concept.
Yeah, and it's interesting how that kind of came out to me. And I, like I said, I don't really remember what sparked the inspiration for this idea, but I was starting to get into where I wanted to offer meditations to people, guided meditations, because I love guided meditations, and I've been meditating for years. And somewhere along the line, I started writing out a meditation. And I'm still hoping to bring it out, but it hasn't. I think it was really more for me at the time, which is why it hasn't gone any further.
Right.
But the whole concept of it was I kind of imagined that everything that I had, and I had done this before I gave birth to my first daughter, my first child, and she, I was thinking to myself, you know, this is going to be an opportunity. I'm going to go on maternity. Like, this is a really good time to kind of take inventory of your life, because I had a lot of different obligations, a lot of things I was involved in and doing. And it's like your life is changing now. So it seemed like a very practical time, and also I think an easy transition into this thought process, because most people understand that, especially with your first, it's like I'm having a baby, most people understand that there's going to be an adjustment period and that you might be letting some things go. It's kind of a safe environment to try it out. But I was doing like an inventory list, and I was kind of sitting there and thinking, what is everything that I'm doing? And I wrote down literally everything. So even the things that in the back of my mind I knew couldn't go away, I just made a list of it all. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking, okay, what do I want? So imagine like I had this big box of all the stuff, and I emptied it out on the table, and there was the box. Now it's completely empty. I have no obligations, no responsibilities, nothing I have to do. Mm-hmm. And then I started just picking up things and putting them back in the box. But they was only based on what felt like I really wanted this to go back in. So as I was picking something up, it's like, well, I kind of told her I might be able to do that, but I really don't want it. It didn't go in the box. And it was kind of an eye-opener for me to realize all the things that I was doing, even like just, you know, groups I had joined, clubs I had joined, obligations, things that I've told people I would be a part of, that just weren't in alignment with anything that I wanted to do with this life that I was trying to build for myself. So as I was putting things back in the box, I was examining them, and I was able to see what really was in alignment with who I was. I mean, obviously, there are things that we have to do, maybe that we would rather be spending our time doing other things, but I was able to recognize those for what they were, and it didn't bother me with them going back in the box because I knew why they had to go back, as opposed to just kind of looking at my calendar and being like, what am I doing all the time? Why, you know, and trying to squeeze in these little moments to do the things that I really enjoyed. So that kind of started it, and then I started realizing that I'm signing up for things and doing things that aren't in alignment with who I am. And through the painting exercises, through that kind of creative expression, I realized that it was this creative exercise that kind of helped direct the changes I was trying to make in my life. And so that's when I kind of realized that it's all part of it, and that's really where I want to be. It's about using creativity to find different ways to handle the everyday things that we all have to deal with in our life, and how can we sit down and evaluate different things in a manner that feels good and comfortable and safe for us, but yet still do the work that we need to do on it. So that's kind of how that all at least came out for me, was doing this little exercise where I just started writing a meditation, and this is what came out.
Wow. I love the box thing. Like, I'm thinking, okay, I could write down all the thoughts that normally go through my head, you know, on a daily basis, right? Like, let's just get them all out, and then let's just put back in the box the thoughts we want, you know, or that same thing with the parts of ourselves and our personality that maybe are keeping us from that perfect alignment. So, like, write down, okay, so there's the me that didn't feel, you know, heard around the dinner table, which is a big one for me. You know, like, write these things down and then just put back in the box the parts of me that are serving me right now and serving my highest and greatest good. I love that image. So, so all of you, that would be a really fun thing to do. And here's the other image I just got. When you talked about creativity, really creating this landscape, or this, you know, it's almost like, you know, tilling soil in a garden, right? Like, when you added the creativity into your life, different things were able to grow. And the other thing I pictured is that, especially right now, we've got so many more, like, tools being offered to us, right? So so many different ways of knowing, for example. So, and this is, you know, I just wrote in the Purpose Project last year about Martha Beck, and she talks about wordlessness, you know, just that knowing, and there's the intuition, and, you know, I talk a lot about symbols, being able to tune into the symbols you're getting. So as opposed to the way that most of us were raised, where, you know, you read a book, you go to a class, right? Like, you learn information that normally is coming to you through the written or spoken word, and then that's really the only thing you can act on. You know, that's the way it used to be. And now, and so pretend it's like a palette of colors, right? So we were raised with, like, blue and green, you know, two fabulous colors. We love blue and green. But when you do things like the painting, the creativity, meditating, yoga, taking walks out in nature, you open up to receive reds and oranges and yellows and pinks and magentas and turquoise and whites and grays and blacks. And you are able to receive the full spectrum of the way of being and knowing and acting and receiving. So the creativity, what Michelle and I know for sure, and I'm excited, the next guest is Julie Daly, and I just watched her TED Talk, and she talks about how the painting really activated things for her. It's not about, like Michelle said, being a master. It's about creating experiences for you to open up to the full spectrum of what you have available to you, so that you can align with this truest self-expression that is not limited. Yeah, I love that.
Well, and it's so true, because it's what I've kind of come to realize is the difference between inside out and outside in. We were all brought up with the idea that we gain knowledge, we gain our view of the world, our belief system. It all kind of comes, for a lot of it, from the outside in. So like you were saying, we're taught in school this is how you draw, this is how you paint, this is how you write, this is how, whatever it is. And yes, you do need structure, I think, to learn some of the basics and stuff, but then you want to get to a point where you can really start coming from the inside out. And it's, what do I have to say? What do I have to draw? What do I have to create without worrying about how it's going to be received by the masses? And I talk about, I am part of a poetry and a writer's group that I facilitate, and we talk about this too, and I'm always saying, you know, when you write, even if one person resonated with what you wrote, then it's wonderful you did that, even if that one person was you. But it's, right. it's really about kind of using these tools to look inside and not and kind of forget maybe what we think we should be doing or what would make others happy or what would make others proud or whatever that is, and say, but what did I really come here to do? You know, what really lights me up? What really excites me? And that's such a powerful thing to start being able to do. And it's fun with the thing I loved about the painting is I had such an insight one time when I was, and I forget which part of the exercises we were at, but I was painting. It's when we were doing the different layers and then we had to paint, I ended up painting the owl.
Right.
And you talk about in all the, you know, how hard it is sometimes for people to kind of disengage their left brain and just, you know, splatter paint on the canvas because they're like, well, what does that have to, you know, how to, they have to know how to do it. And I had no problems with that. So I'm sitting here and I'm painting and I'm having a great old time. I can put my hands in it. I was like a kid again. I had no problem connecting with that. And then it was the layer where it's like, okay, paint an owl. And I froze.
Right.
And it just, I had this clear answer that said, and I was like, why are you having a problem now? I mean, I wasn't even in a classroom setting. I was by myself. Nobody was looking over my shoulder. And I was like, why can't you paint this owl? And it was like you had no problem with all the other layers, what's going on. And I kind of answered myself and said, well, now it has to look like something other people would recognize.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the minute I realized, I said, oh, so I'm okay creating, you know, as long as nobody has to know what I'm creating, or, you know, kind of goes back to the whole hidden blog. But now that I have to put it out there so that other people can, it was like kind of where that affirmation from other people and then acknowledging that what I was doing was legitimate. So that's kind of what started to come up for me. And what's funny is I did manage to paint the owl, did the exercise, and it was sitting there. My daughter was about 2 at the time, and she saw it. She said, Mommy, look, that's your dinosaur. And I was laughing because, of course, it was not supposed to be a dinosaur. I love how kids can just put this right in perspective. But instead of me, like, I laughed, and I said, you know what? Yeah, that's my dinosaur. Like, I'm going to own it. There we go. That's a dinosaur. But at that point, I kind of had this, you know, awakening to the fact that, you know, it doesn't have to look like anything to anyone else. It just has to look like what you wanted it to look like or whatever you were expressing. And so that was kind of how that all started for me. But it was just so funny, like, you know, how I love how the universe kind of answers us sometimes. You know, like I'm going through all this. And then my daughter's going to look at my owl and be like, oh, look, it's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
So it's interesting for me, you know, and I didn't, and I think you and I talked about this in one of the earlier calls that we've had, that I really didn't understand when I signed up even for the coaching how much spiritual connection and how much I would gain as, you know, through my soul with doing this work. I really thought I was signing up for these great, fun painting classes, which they are. They totally are. But I didn't expect, and maybe that's why it worked. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was like I just would sit there and I would just have these realizations through this art of creating. And then, you know, you talk so much about how we, you know, we are the, you know, the artists of our own life. And it's so true. And that stuck with me so much about the fact that every day through, you know, if you want to look at, you know, the words we choose, what we're saying to ourselves, the people we surround ourselves with, those are all the colors. And if we don't want mud, then we got to make sure we're not mixing the wrong colors. And just it's been such a beautiful way to kind of look at things and also feel, I think, more involved in my own life sometimes. I think we have a tendency to feel like things happen to us. And you kind of realize, well, you know what, I'm gonna lighten this up. I'm just going to do another layer. So I'm going to paint over the mud, and I'm going to do another layer, and I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to have a fresh canvas, and this is how I'm going to go. And it's just so fun to kind of bring all that through into, you know, my life and how I'm approaching things, and it's been such a fun journey. It really has.
That's thank you for saying that. And you know, this is the thing. So two things. One, what you just mentioned about you know, getting to the point like, ooh, now I have to draw something that people, you know, are going to recognize. So the magic about the canvas. And this is what, as Creatively Fit coaches, what our intention is working with you is that the canvas will reflect back to you the points where you get stuck or start becoming really self-critical or self-conscious in the painting process. It will, and that's the same point that you experience. experience in the art that is your life. And when you learn to let go of that need for your owl to look like an owl in the canvas, Michelle probably also let go of some of the anxiety or the energy around, oh, I want it to look good so the outside, right, approves it or recognizes it. And that's serving her in the art that is her life. The canvas is what the canvas is like the teacher. And so we teach you to tune into and just validate that experience and to realize, like, wow, okay, so this is not just about painting an owl, is it?
No, and it's so true for me because I was realizing, it's like, so am I really more concerned how things look to the outside? You know, so that's really what was coming up for me. It's like, so you're really not making choices based on what you really want to do, but more as opposed to what you think will look, you know, it was kind of like I knew what I wanted to do, so how can I kind of mold that out and make it look like, you know, do something right. Everyone else is doing, but make it look like what I wanted to do. And when you're doing that, you're constantly in conflict. And so it was just amazing to have this, like I said, through painting an owl. And here I was having a great old, and it's totally snuck up on me, having this great old time painting. And all of a sudden I'm like, why can't I paint? I literally couldn't even touch the canvas to start. And I'm like, why can't I draw a line? Like, because that's really, you know, that's how you, and I'm like, you just draw one line. And it was just like, nope, can't do it. And so it's just, yeah, it's great how the canvas, and it was literally like I was just having this conversation with the canvas, and they're like, I don't know, why can't you draw it? And you kind of have this whole conversation. I guess it sounds a little crazy, but it was just how it was showing me where I was stuck.
Exactly. So I just had this vision, the metaphor of, you know, it's like we used to, of course, this is, I remember as a kid, right? Like if you wanted to look something up, because we didn't have smartphones or the internet, you had to go to the library, right?
So library.
You had to go and walk into the library to look information up. I remember my dad going to the library many weekends. Anyway, so now, you know, going to the library, quote unquote, you know, that's one way to get knowledge and information. The other way is another way, you know, there are others, of course, but another way is to go to the canvas. And by opening up your mind, and this is what, you know, when we talk about in Creatively Fit about the right brain muscle and getting creatively fit in that way, it's about exercising and strengthening your ability to receive and process and act from a whole brain perspective where you're operating both from logic and intuition. You know, you're able to blend the two perfectly. That's why we have these two hemispheres. And of course, it's not as simple as left-right brain. You know, you wouldn't take that into the brain surgery. But on a day-to-day basis, the paradigm of right-left brain works. And the fact is that we live in this, you know, heavily left-brain world that's becoming less and less. You know, it's becoming more and more integrated, which is exciting. It's like in quantum leaps. And so the canvas is like going to the library, and you will get, you know, downloads, right? Like all of a sudden you'll think of something or know something or an idea of, oh, I need to call them or I should write about that or literally information, like understanding, you know? So why
and
wouldn't,
cool
why wouldn't
actually,
you?
I've been experiencing that lately with, I've been doing, you know, just some creative, really playtime. Like that's the only thing I can equate it to where I'm sitting down and I'm just kind of plopping paint on paper or whatever I have, right? And just no expectations, just like slapping down stuff. I'm like, oh, here's tissue paper, throw that on there, and just kind of having fun and playing with it. And through that, I'm not necessarily always having these great moments like with the owl, but I'll sit down all of a sudden, I'll come up with an idea. I'm like, ooh, I should do this. Or, oh, yeah, you know what, you were trying to figure out something, not that I'm even consciously thinking about them.
Yes.
And so it's interesting when you're able to kind of re-engage that. I always joke, like, I was, you know, and you may have talked about it, too, but where you're kind of having your right brain go and play, it's like once you can fully engage that, it's like your left brain can't talk over all that noise because you don't hear the criticisms or the, that's not going to work. And then your left brain, it's almost like it's kind of working on the problem for you, and then it's like, well, we can actually do this. And it's interesting how it kind of, it all comes out. And it's been fun for me because I'm not really... for me, it's been learning to not make things look like an owl and letting that go and just kind of sitting down and doing something I enjoy doing and not worrying about what the outcome's going to be, what it's ultimately going to look like. And then it kind of appears. It's like, wow, you know, look at what this actually looks like now. So it's been,
exactly.
It's a fun process.
So this is something that's available to all of you in all the myriad of ways that you've listened to in this telesummit. But that whole energy of I've got to figure this out, we all know that energy. And there's a lot of anxiety around that, you know, like I've got to figure this out. This isn't working. Ugh, you know, that you could forever replace that with the opposite, which is, I'm opening up. I would like insight into this. You know, like I trust that that the information will come to me that I need to get over this, this hurdle. That this
right.
figuring out thing can be replaced with a remembering. You know, and in the coaching program, I'm always telling people like, okay, so we're going to remember how it is you're going to share this with the world, and that really works. And so then it becomes like this treasure hunt, you know, rather than like, oh, I've got to figure this out. It's like, okay, I'm going to follow the clues. And that literally happens. And that's, you hear this in so many different ways when you hear people now talking about, you know, following the energy, or the questions people have around, you know, what is my life's purpose? I've heard the advice, make a list of everything you love to do.
Yeah.
And follow something in that list, you know, follow the things that give you energy. It's the classic Michelangelo saying that the sculptures, the figures would appear from within the stone. You know, he didn't put the pressure on himself to sculpt the perfect, you know, male figure. The male figure was already there. He was just chipping away what didn't need to be there. And that's when you're able to utilize and harness everything that we're talking about rather than just the logical mind. You have access to the logical mind, the infinite mind, you know, cellular memory, you know, the psyche like Carl Jung talks about, the morphogenetic field, like that other guy, I can't remember his name right now, talks about, you know, where you just instantly know something or you see the pattern unfolding before you like a pathway, like, wow, look at this unfolding for me.
Well, and that's I think the cool part, and that's what I started to realize about that whole, you know, going from the inside out, too, is because
you're not
sitting here thinking, okay, well, what do I have to do? Or what will yield the results? Or what has worked in the past? You know, what have other people done that have been successful? Or what have other people done? Because really when we're trying to make things look like an owl, I'm just going to keep going back to an owl.
Right. No, it's good.
But when you're trying to make things look like an owl, you're limiting yourself to the owls you've seen or what other people have drawn and all these other things. And you're not, what's the real reason you want to draw this owl? So once you kind of figure out the reason you want to do something, then you're realizing the same thing with New Year's resolutions. I'm not a big New Year's resolution person, like, oh, I'm going to start eating better. For me, it's more about, like, kind of imagining the life that I'm trying to bring in, because it's not about losing the 10 pounds. It's like, how do you think you're going to feel when you lose the 10 pounds? Like, what is it really that you're trying to get to? Because when you can connect with that, then the way for you to do it comes, like, for, you know, for some people, it may not be that they have to go on a diet and do something extreme. Maybe it's they can just start doing yoga, which they love, and they totally forgot they love doing it. So it's really about connecting with ourselves and finding out, why do you want to do this thing anyway? Why do you want to paint? Why do you want to write? Why do you want to, you know, do any of these things? And once you're able to connect with that, then your way of doing those things reveals itself. And then you can do it and you can sustain it and you get that kind of creative high that you're, you know, running on, where you're able to fuel things and work for hours and it feels like minutes because you're doing it in your way, not, oh, I got to do this because everyone says you have to get up at 5 a.m. to write successfully or you have to, you know, whatever it is. You're doing it your way, and that's where, like, the magic comes in, because then you're bringing forth something only you can bring forth. Not something that everyone else is doing.
Right. That's so, I mean, how perfect is that, Michelle, for just the whole, you know, full color you, create you, like, do it your way. You know, I love seeing, and I know you've heard me say this, and then, you know, you see it other places, but it's like whatever is getting you fired up right now, like whatever you find yourself just in these conversations, like, you know, and you get all flushed and you're excited. It's like, hello. That's a frequency that you want to pursue, you know. It's like whatever is getting you fired up, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what the world needs, you know, not even supposed to. That's what you get to do, you know. And so that energy of I'm going to do it my way because it's getting me so energized, and that's the whole intention right now. Like, that's the beauty of the time we're living in right now, is that we get to do it our way, and that will usher in the newness and the shifting and create a better balance, you know, between the way things used to be done and the way things are going to be done. It's all about a balance. It's like we've experienced the extremes now, which was all perfect, and now we get to bring it into balance.
Well, it's interesting. I do these, my Dear Little Daily podcast, and it's when you were talking about, like, the things that fire you up, I was thinking how, you know, they talk about having somebody, you know, a good friend or somebody that, you know, you're close with nearer to you. So if you have a couple of ideas, you sit down, you talk about them in front of them, and they can kind of watch your body language, see when your eyes light up, you know. For me, I'm from Jersey, so my hands start going when we start talking. And it's like that whole, you kind of get excited, and they can say, that's it, that's the thing, because that's when you started to light up, that's when you started to share. And I find often, like, when I'm recording my podcast, sometimes I'm not a big planner for things, especially creative things. I kind of like to just go with it. And I'll sit down, I'll start recording them, and then I'm like, ooh, that's what I want. And I can tell by the tone of my voice, like, when I start talking about it, it's like, that's what I want to do. And it's a great way for people to kind of stop and just start, like, you know, just start talking about what things are that you're thinking about, and take it to the canvas and see what happens. So it's such a fun way to handle things, as opposed to, you know, feeling like you're doing this, like, intense workout and all this great stuff. I mean, it ends up being, but it just doesn't feel like that. It's just so much fun.
Well, and that's learning to listen to your intuition. You know, it's what is coming through me right now. The class I took with Dana Lynn Anderson, who was on the Telesummit a couple days ago, we were doing, you know, this very expressive painting, and she kept saying, to ask yourself, what does the universe want to create through me right now?
Ooh.
Right? Yeah. And that's what you're talking about with your podcast. It's like, what wants to come through? What's coming from my heart? You know, I mean, it's funny, right? The coming from within and then coming from, like, that infinite space. I mean, it's really, we're talking about the same thing. But,
yes.
And you talked in your last, the video you did about the vision board, you talked about really taking advantage, feeling these waves of creativity come into your day and taking advantage of that. Talk about that, because I think that's something that people can tune into and recognize.
Yeah, because, you know, I think it's often, at least, you know, when you're a creative person, you have a tendency to, at least for me, it's not a disciplined way, like, because I can sit down every day at the same time to try to work on something creative, and it just may not be there. And I found that I was going through a loss. We had lost one of our dogs, and so it was a really emotional, you know, couple of weeks. And I just felt like I needed time, and so I was just doing creative work. And I was just literally not kind of having any intention, just sitting down and trying to play around and work on things. I'm sure a lot of it was just trying to have something else to focus on, and you know, while I was trying to process all of this. And I found that through kind of the grief or whatever it was, I found this just wave of creative energy, and it was like I couldn't stop. I kept coming up with ideas of things I wanted to do, and I kept coming up with new ways that I wanted to express things. That's why I started doing the videos, and videos were something I had been talking about doing for such a long time, and all of a sudden I had four of them up, you know, and it was things like that that I was just, and I was able to just say, you know what, I'm going to go with it right now. I'm not going to worry about the end result. I'm not going to worry about where it's actually going. I'm just going to ride it. And it's amazing when you do that, because you get this an influx, and then you get insight. And if you can capitalize on it when you get the waves, I think it helps to on the slower times, because some of the things I had come up were ideas for like either blog posts or other videos that I wanted to do. And I was talking with I have a little creative group that we talk on Skype. Like, we try to do once a month or once every couple of weeks. And we were talking about this, and one of the girls mentioned having this board. So we all were like, oh, we're doing the board. And we have this big bulletin board up. And I actually already had one that had been sitting that I didn't know what I was going to do with. So I'm like, well, now it has its purpose. And I just started putting my ideas on this board. And so even though I didn't have necessarily, I wasn't able to sit down and work on all these ideas, now I was riding that creative wave, and I was getting the information from it, writing it down. And I feel like now when I'm maybe wanting to do something creative but don't necessarily have that, you know, influx of energy for creativity, I can sit down and I can look at this board and say, okay, you know, what's going to jump out at me? And I can look at this and pull from it. So it's kind of like, you know, preparing for the winter, you know, reaping all the harvest, and then you plan for your winter. You got all the food in, and now you're going to, you know, space it out throughout the year. And I just feel like we sometimes feel like we're supposed to be creative all the time and we're supposed to have all these great insights all the time. But I think if you make a little space, you're just to sit down and without any specific intention other than, as you said, to allow whatever's meant to come through to come through, that's when it's like, oh, you're open to anything. And then all the stuff starts coming through, because I wasn't sitting down saying, okay, I want to work on my book, or I want to sit down and I'm going to write a poem, or whatever I was going to do. I was able to sit down and just say, you know what, I'm just going to play. I'm just going to kind of, I had a couple materials I wanted to try out, and I'm just going to sit and play. And once I did that, it was like I was this blank canvas now. And, you know, the universe could say, oh, all right, well, here's all the information. Finally, she's listening, you know, instead of sitting down saying, hey, I want to paint the painting that looks like this. And then being like, oh, all right, but we really wanted you to write something that was like this, you know. So you kind of get that, it's kind of like what you and I were talking before about Elizabeth Gilbert's speech that she talked about on TED, and how she was saying how, you know, it's the whole creative muse process, that it's not really us. It's that outside energy that's coming through us. And I think if we kind of step out of it enough, just so we can sit down and say, you know, I'm just going to sit and I'm just going to pour it out, and I'm just going to let it happen, that's when the magic really comes through. And that's when you can get those waves of creativity. Or even if you're not feeling overly creative, you might get some ideas for things that you can use later on. So it's just, or insight into something that's going on in your life that you didn't even realize you were still thinking about. So it's just so important, I think, to just for people to use this and really realize that you have the tools. That's the cool part, that we all have them. We have these tools.
Yeah. Exactly. And so we really want and recommend for you all to, if you have not watched it already, and you know you could watch it a million times, but the Liz Gilbert talk on TED where she talks about how our more contemporary society treats accomplishments and creations from this very ego-centered perspective, and how it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that the muse, wow, the gods really worked through you. So her whole aha after writing Eat, Pray, Love, and everyone saying, how are you going to follow that up? You know, she's like, well, I'm just going to show up and write. Like, I'm going to show up and do my work. And if you want it to be another bestseller, you know, muse, God, whatever, have to show up too. And so she just took all the pressure off. And she has amazing stories in there that illustrate what Michelle and I are talking about. So go read that. And then the other thing is, the 21-day painting meditation challenge, which starts on the 18th. And the painting meditation challenge is something I'm creating. It's a free event. There's information all around the Telesummit information here. And I want you to experience simply putting the brush to paper 21 days in a row. They're just going to be like 5-minute videos. You're not going to see me talking or anything like that. It's just going to be you click it on and you just, you know, watch, follow along. It's going to be very loose, you know, like today we're painting red, you know, kind of what Michelle was talking about. So it will give you a way to kind of reprogram your experience around creating and painting, and give you this new way to, on a daily basis, in 5 minutes, open up to the full spectrum that you have access to. So excited about that. So you all are not getting rid of me at all. You all have to sign up for this painting meditation challenge and allow me in the energy, at least in for the next 21 days. Michelle, thank you so much. What a fun conversation.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah. And it's, and you know what? You know, I love that everything we're talking about is you can hear it in our voices, right? Like the energy. It always cracks me up because I've been talking this stuff for 17 years, you know, and every day I get a different aha or insight, or I read something. This whole creativity painting thing is so big. It's so important right now for us to realize that, oh, it's not about being a master painter. It's not about being good at it. It's about It's stepping in to the energy of me as a creator. And that means that the things in my life that are not what I would choose, I get to create change. I am not a victim. I can do this. And that is the energy that is going to be, as soon as you tap into that, you're going to feel the current take you and support you in that, because that is what we're meant to do right now. That's the call. That's the opportunity. That's the opening that we're being given right now in 2014, is to really, like Michelle said, go within and move from the inside out. Really take what gets you excited and passionate and fired up to be here in this life and do more of that. I love it. Woo. Okay. Wow. So I don't know what I'm going to do right now, like go run around the block or, you know.
I know. I love it, like this, how elevated you feel when you're talking about the sun stuff. And, you know, It is. It's so empowering. It really is. And it just lifts you up. You can't, you know. I don't know, just feel like after a while, like, you can't be too down when you're talking about this kind of stuff for too long. It's just, you kind of pull it out, and it is. I do. I feel totally jazzed up.
Yay! Well, so you all go, if you haven't already, you know, go to WhitneyFreya.com and, you know, go ahead and just give me your first name and your email address so that we can connect. The community is what is so amazing. And the next Creatively Fit coaching training does start on January 30th. And this is what Michelle and I have been talking about with the work that we did together. And it's an amazing experience. I'm very grateful to be able to usher that into the world. It's we're into year four, I think, of that coaching training. There are over 90 coaches all over the world, and it's super exciting. So lots of ways to stay connected. And Michelle, thank you. I know we will be in touch, and you all go out and just immerse yourself in the full rainbow that you've got coming at you, pouring on top of you. I love that image. Thank you, Michelle. Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.